here talking about bowl of soup. All the people that you see here, the people you see walking by, I see all those people in this forum here, they're eating the soup. Those individuals that walk by, they would like to eat the soup, but they just don't have the courage yet. But as long as we stay on, they will grow and they begin to get strong enough to eat this soup to make change for the better for this society.
So, Giancarlo, you're here at Occupy Wall Street. How does it feel?
Well, it's right up the street from my old neighborhood, which is Harlem. You know, for me to come down here and really go through like that deja vu, to think that there's so many people that has a concern about society, not just oneself, but all individuals in this planet. They're concerned about the fact that many people are losing their jobs, many people are being moved out of their homes, many individual students that got loans to go to school to get that education to be one of the workers of this great country we have. And then to know that now they're hounded for their student loans and can't pay them. Everyone's in a quandary. And I'm just so happy to see so many people who are standing up to say, we're not asking for change, we demand change.
Olympic athlete Giancarlo and sports writer Dave Zirin addressed the General Assembly here at Occupy Wall Street encampment in Liberty Plaza, then did a little teach-in, as you just heard. Giancarlo, 1968, Mexico City, won the bronze in the 200-meter race. He and Tommy Smith, when they stood up to get their medals, put up their hands in the Black Power salute. That led to so much devastation and so much pride around the world. Devastation of his career, though it's something I think he believes he would always do again. As he stood with the black leather glove, not wearing his shoes, to stand against poverty and for human rights. We're going to have both Giancarlo and Dave Zirin on our show on Wednesday, so do tune in and tell your friends. That does it for us today from Wall Street, from Liberty Plaza, where thousands of people are continuing to come here. Hundreds are camping out overnight, inspiring protests in over 1,000 cities around the world. If you want to hear and watch and read more, go to our website at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by a remarkable group of people, by Mike Berg and Sam Alkoff and Steve Martinez. Also, thanks to Giuseppe. Thanks to Renee Feltz and to Nermeen Sheikh. Thanks to Honey Masood and Robbie Karen, to Ryan Devereaux, Dina Guzder, and Manal Khan, Aaron Mate, Julie Crosby, Becca Staley, Mike DeFilippo, and Miguel Noguera, to the whole team that makes Democracy Now! Happen every day. Special thanks to Jessel Noor as well. Again, for transcripts, audio, and video podcasts, go to democracynow.org. But that's it for us at Occupy Wall Street, at least for today. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
What does Bob Longman's program sound like?
Poppity, 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 pop, go the motorcycle, hitting on one.
Sunday afternoons, 12:30 to 2:30, on WUSB, Stony Brook, and WUSB.FM. Hi, I'm Bob Longman with the WUSB Concert Billboard for Monday, October 10th. Blues Inn will be at the Lobster Roll North Side in Bating Hollow, New York at 3 p.m. The Yoko Ono Imagine Peace, featuring John and Yoko's Year of Peace, is going through its final week here at the Stony Brook University campus at the Stoller Center for the Arts University Art Gallery, starting at 12 and ending at 4 each day until the 15th. UWUSB concert billboard for Tuesday, October 11th. Bush and Chevelle will be at the Paramount in Huntington Village at 8 p.m. Nicholas Payton will be at Burtland throughout the week, with shows at 8:30 and 11 p.m. That's in Manhattan. Your concert billboard for Wednesday, October 12th. Jars of Clay and Dave Barnes will be at the B.B. King's in Manhattan at 8 p.m. Iron and Wine will be with Low at the Terminal 5 in Manhattan at 8 p.m. Jack's Mannequin and Company of Thieves will be at the Paramount in Huntington at 8 p.m. Buddy Merriam's Mandolin Experience will be at the Checkmate Inn, East Setauket, at 9:30 p.m. Your concert billboard for Thursday, October 13th. Also continuing on will be Yoko Ono's Imagine Peace at the Stony Brook University Stoller Center for the Arts, and Nicholas Payton will remain at Burtland for the rest of the week. The Carl Palmer Band will be at the Bolton Center in Bayshore, New York, at 8 p.m. Well, that's today's concert billboard. Tune in every day to hear where your favorites are playing, or maybe to try something different. The online concert billboard at WUSB.fm has schedules for the months ahead, so you know what to look forward to. And look for the WUSB Concert Billboard group on Facebook, where there are often some last-minute shows. The WUSB Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
Hello, hello. Okay, good. We got the microphone to work. Wonderful, wonderful. You know, I swore this was not going to be a show. I complained about the equipment, but it's hard to even do that if you can't speak. Okay, it's 6:03. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. Time, once again, for Off the Wall. We'll be right back. And getting to everybody's program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined once again by Kyle.
Good evening.
It's, yes, it's another Tuesday, isn't it? Something. How they come so quickly these days.
Yes, time flies.
What can we say? It's autumn now. It's getting a little colder. And it's 1 week before Radiothon, which means this is the last week we'll be able to take phone calls unless you're calling to give us money. We like those calls too, but this is the kind of phone call we're asking for tonight, where you call and speak and say something on the radio and tell us what's on your mind. And I think probably the thing on everyone's mind now is what's going on at Wall Street. I know we were talking about this. Feels like we were way ahead of the game on this one, because the media didn't get it for a very, very long time, for a couple of weeks. And you were a witness to this, Kyle. You saw how frustrating it was getting the media to cover the story.
Yeah, you're used to stories being mentioned, you know, very quickly. You know, you'll get news articles within minutes. With any other sort of big incident in the world, you can just get onto a search engine and look up whatever article you want to find out about, and generally you find many more articles. So with this, it just seemed like it was going on. There were all kinds of things, marches and even some of the clashes with people, and then you'd check online and you wouldn't be able to get as good a response.
Well, not just online, but also just watching television, watching CNN, watching Fox, MSNBC, the local channels. You had this thing going on downtown. You had all these people camped out in a park near Wall Street, and it was as if it wasn't happening at all. We went down there. We went down when there were relatively few people there, but it was still significant. That was still significant because people were occupying the park. The Zuccotti Park was being occupied round the clock. I mean, this kind of thing doesn't happen in the States. It happens in other countries. We read about it in other countries all the time. But for something like that to happen here, it means something. It might not be something you agree with, but it definitely is significant. It's a step. And there was just no coverage whatsoever. It was just blacked out. And people, I think, latched onto that. They latched onto the fact that, hey, this is something that's happening, and yet it's not happening because the media says it's not happening. And that became a story. That became a story in and of itself.
Yes.
And I think, as they say in the old newsroom, the story got legs. And it sort of took off from there, because the protests grew. More and more people came down to Wall Street, regardless of the fact that the media wasn't covering it. Then, for you and I, actually, the right way to say this, for you and me, I always mess that up. But the way to get it right is you take away the "you" and if the sentence works, then it's the right way to say it. So now, for what I was about to say, "you" and I was not the right way. I'm sorry about that. We'll cut that out of the archive. For you and me, the turning point was when we were watching this online and we saw,
yes,
we saw what they were doing online, as far as basically having camera footage, live camera footage of what was going on in the park. And it was, I believe, on a Saturday, and there was a march from Union Square protesting the death penalty. It was right after that execution.
Mm-hmm.
And the two marches, or the two groups of demonstrators, had met, and it was really interesting to see that, to see the police reaction, to see walls of cops either moving forward or standing still, and just to hear people talking and realize, wow, this is going on live. It's being streamed on the internet. They even have a crawl at the bottom, just like CNN does. And it's kind of like they made their own news channel. And they kept switching from camera to camera, perspective to perspective. And at one point, they switched to a bicycle. A bicycle went from Zuccotti Park up to Union Square. And all of a sudden, you just saw the streets going by really quickly. You saw a rear view, a front view. And for us, I know that was a real interesting point, where we realized how cool this was technology-wise, but also how significant it was social-wise.
Yeah, and that's around the point when I was talking about with search results. There was nothing then. It was it was much more just if you knew it was going on, and we were just finding out about it. And it was just this odd thing where people were occupying a park, And then you were able to stream it while the major stuff was going on the first couple weeks. It's just grown from there. It's really, really interesting.
It is. I think maybe the turning point for the mass media, though, was the following week on the Brooklyn Bridge, where more than 700 people got arrested for one reason or another. Actually, no, maybe it was the pepper spray incident before that, where the two girls, at least two, were pepper sprayed, and it was caught on video. Basically, a cop just walking up and blithely spraying pepper spray into their faces. They were just behind the police barricade. They weren't doing anything except being behind the police barricade. I'm not sure if that's a crime, but the police had barricaded them in. It's not like they jumped across a barricade. They were on a sidewalk. And as somebody who's been on a sidewalk before and been arrested for that crime, it's you're not threatening anybody by being on a sidewalk. And they were pretty much by themselves. Maybe they were shouting. Maybe they were saying, "Let us out," or something like that. I don't know. I wasn't there. But one thing that was clear, and it doesn't matter how much beforehand you saw or what they were saying or anything like that, there is no doubt the cop just walked up and sprayed pepper spray into their faces, and they weren't a threat to anybody when that was going on. And I think the global media got that scene. Somebody was filming it with their camera phone or whatever, and that image just got out, and that became viral. And I think when people started to see that, they really raised their voices as far as why isn't U.S. media covering this at all. International media was covering it. U.S. media had a blackout, and that's when it started to change. And the things that we've noticed in the past few days, a couple of weeks, the Wall Street occupation is now the top story. It's something that we were listening to the news station the other day, and it was the top three stories were all about the Wall Street occupation, and not necessarily in a negative way. I mean, there have been negative stories, there have been mocking stories, but it's definitely changed. The tone has definitely changed, the amount of coverage has definitely changed, and I think that's testament to the power that people have if they just raise their voices a little bit. And we've been talking about this on the air for years. People need to raise their voices. The right wing is very good at this. The Tea Party people, they got that down. They're able to, you know, be in the town hall meetings and convince legislators that healthcare is a bad thing and various other gems that they've come up with. But the left wing has always been intimidated, wanting to appeal for some reason to the right wing. Yes, Obama, that's you. Not that he's really left-wing, but all the things that aren't being done is because they've been placating the right-wing too much. The other problem with the left-wing, they tend to turn on the left-wing more than the right-wing. They tend to do a lot of infighting. If you've ever been involved in a left-wing group, I think you know what I'm talking about. And that's not, I'm not attacking a left-wing group. I don't want to have retribution because I said that. But that's the kind of thing that would happen. You see, people basically point fingers at each other and forget that they're all pretty much in the same group, agreeing on a lot of the same things. I see that all the time. So now, finally, you have people from all different backgrounds converging onto a single spot. No, they don't agree on everything. They're not all from the same background. They don't all believe in the same things. But they can agree on the one thing. And I know a lot of people might be puzzled by that. What is the one thing? They're not listening to any demands. They're so unclear, so unfocused. It's not really, if you take a look at it. They're basically pointing out the inequities in the system. And I think the 99% is the best way of doing that. I saw a sign yesterday when we were down there saying that if I made 1 million and change, I would still... And I forget what the sign said. I'll think about it. It was a good sign that said how disproportionate the wealth is. Yeah. There's 1% of the. I gotta look this up. I'm sorry. I feel like an idiot now. But
there's a lot of different good signs down there.
Yeah, there were lots of good signs. I need to write these signs down. But it was just basically something to illustrate how crazy the wealth system is in this country, and how people simply. Are very few people are in charge of way too much.
And I think also for me the one demand is to occupy Wall Street. It's almost a call to action for people that might find themselves in the 99% and just the people in general, like, you know, occupy Wall Street and represent issues that haven't been worked out and that kind of thing. So it's definitely it's clear, you know, they have a spot down there. They've got a voice in what goes on.
I think it was if you made less than 1 million something and change, which seems like a lot of money, you're still not in the 1%.
Yeah,
I think that was it.
Well, that sounds right.
Yeah, basically pointing out that all these tax things for the rich. It's basically, it doesn't affect anybody up until a very small percentage of people who are getting away with murder.
Yeah,
in many ways. And I think that's the one thing that everybody is focusing on, is that there is just this gap, and banks get bailed out, people don't get bailed out, people lose their homes, people go into debt for decades because they dare to go to college. Things like that. And yeah, it's easy to counter that and say, well, you can't take out a loan if you don't expect to pay it back. Well, how about you apply those nice, simple phrases to the banks and to the wealthy and to the people that don't pay any taxes or that pay the same amount of taxes as somebody who's on welfare? You know, ridiculous things like that. Obviously, people are upset at many, many things. And Wall Street is a way of expressing that and of just saying we've had enough. And I think there's been a decided lack of that. Now, when we went there yesterday, we've been there a bunch of times now. I have to say it's gotten livelier and more vibrant than ever. And that just shows me that this genie's out of the bottle.
Absolutely.
It's taken off. And when we were walking around, I was hearing people saying, yeah, I came from California. I came from Wisconsin. I came from all these different states. And people are, it's a pilgrimage. People are actually coming down from all over the place because this is it. This is the thing that we've been waiting for. And we didn't expect it. It just suddenly happened. One of the co-founders of Adbusters in Canada somehow got the idea to do this. Didn't even go himself, but got the idea that people should take over Wall Street. It caught on, and it's continuing to catch on. And wow, I'm blown away. I was always hoping something like this would happen, but a little discouraged over the years. And I guess maybe it was worth waiting for.
It was interesting yesterday when we went there having a meeting about getting a commercial kitchen, like a dedicated space. And
they have a kitchen that serves over 2,000 people a day. And that is huge. 2,000, totally free, totally free. Yeah, call them freeloaders if you want. I hear people out there, oh, freeloaders. No, these are people donating things, donating their time, donating their effort, donating their raw materials, and creating a real community. They have a library now. There is a library. We donated some magazines. Yes, you can get the new issue of 2600. If you occupy Wall Street, you'll see some floating around there. We also donated some books, but there's so much there. In fact, it's even online now. These guys got it together. They put their library online so you can see what's there. You can browse. They did this in 2 days. They have one of the biggest kitchens in the city, certainly one of the most famous in the world.
The food looked pretty good.
The food was really good. And it's not all vegan or vegetarian or anything like that. It's a variety. It's basically catering to all kinds of different people. And that's the beauty of it. You see all kinds of different people down there. And I have to say, you know, we were down there on, last Wednesday, when the unions were marching as well. And there were a few arrests and some pepper spray incidents then, too. Mm-hmm. It was a bit tense. We were there at night, and there was some worry that cops were going to seal the place off. Yesterday, decidedly different mood. More people, I think. More people were actually in the park, but a lot calmer, less cops. First of all, you don't need so many cops because it's all self-governing inside this place. Very peaceful, very organized. But yet the cops do surround it. And of course, yesterday also the mayor said he wasn't going to do anything to stop this, which is a wise thing to say.
Yeah, it's because, a good development.
Yeah, this is free speech.
There's a sense of permanence, I think, going in with all the things we've mentioned.
I mean, it's healthy. It's a healthy sign of any society. And I was wondering, you know, when this all started, you had all kinds of people condemning it, all kinds of politicians. I was wondering, what would it take for a single politician to stand up and say, these people are people we should be looking to, emulating. We should be very proud of them for speaking up, for saying what's on their mind, for risking whatever it is they feel they might be in danger of having happen to them by going to this park. And I think that statement was sorely lacking in the early days. Now the Democrats are starting to latch onto this a bit. They're staring to say, yeah, this is a good thing. I think Pelosi actually said something positive. Even Barack Obama was saying things that were not negative about the protesters. So, that's turning too. The tide is definitely turning. And I think polls show that most people support what they're doing. And think it's a good thing, and agree. Vast majority of people agree that there's ridiculous inequities in our society. This is the best time to go there. If you're considering going there, by all means, it's not something to fear. It's a very open, warm environment. But this is the time to help the process along and to steer the ship. A lot of people are there now. They don't have a clear agenda because that's still being formed. Now, if they just went in there and they knew exactly what they were doing, what would be the difference? You know, you just basically be signing on to something where all the decisions have already been made. This is something where you can help make those decisions. You can actually participate in dialogue, ask yourself why you believe in certain things, be open to being wrong. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful opportunity. Now, I know, Kyle, when you went down there the first couple of times, you were pretty nervous. As you had every right to be.
Yeah, it was much different and quieter. I like the fact that you have reminded me of that first experience, because it was just people occupying that territory, and there weren't live meetings with everyone. It was just very quiet. It was like bedtime. But now I think it's got more of a 24-hour feel. Like, people are really trying to work things out.
I think maybe that first time there was maybe 150 people there max.
Yes.
And last night we went there, I'd say about 2,000 people were there.
Yeah.
That's what we're seeing.
Yeah. But in the other time that we were there, that was towards the evening time, it did feel tense. But if you didn't live there, if you didn't occupy that area, you wouldn't really understand. I think people are starting to understand the tenor of the police, like how they're handling it, and really defining that they're able to hold their ground. And I think it is, it's going to continue. And it really is, it's a good feeling if you do get a chance, go.
It's just as important for the occupiers to not see the cops as the enemy as it is for the cops not to see them as the enemy. Mm-hmm. Once that stops, then a lot can be accomplished, because that fear is gone, and the fear makes progress a lot harder. What I saw last night was a lot more constructive, and I didn't feel like the cops were on the verge of doing something bad. And I think, the mayor's remarks probably had something to do with that, but also just time passing, people becoming familiar with what they're dealing with. And, I imagine that you're seeing familiar faces, that demonstrators are seeing the same cops seeing the same demonstrators, relationships are building up, and That can only lead to some positive things.
I'd also credit the occupiers for handling their logistics and doing so without any sort of direction or anything, someone in charge of it all. It seems like they've orchestrated everything from the ground up.
Yeah, it's incredible. All the organization. Well, some of the things that we've seen that indicate organization. The kitchen, for one thing.
Absolutely.
Last night when we went there, I think it might have been dinner time. There was a line of hundreds of people waiting patiently to get some food, and people behind just preparing it all. Mm-hmm. You noticed they have a gray water system. What's that all about?
Oh, it's a way of creating compostable food waste, I mm-hmm. think. And they basically took a large, I want to say a 55-gallon plastic tub, or a barrel, excuse me, and cut it in half. Uh-huh. And they're using half the barrel to feed another drainage system, which has plants that can use gray water to grow. And so they've assembled this gray water system, which is pretty ingenious. And I was blown away when I saw that the other day. And that's a really practical way to, recycle everything that's recyclable, throw away all the trash, and do something productive with food waste. There's other methods of doing that, like worm boxes and other ways of creating compost. But it's really that's the kind of ingenuity and spirit, I think, that we will continue to see down there. And that's sustainability. It's a really beautiful thing to see. So,
well, a lot of people have experience with that. They're bringing their experience there and sharing it with the people that are also there. And yeah, it's really sophisticated. I'm blown away by the library. I didn't even think they were going to do something like that, but there is a library where you can just go read some books. I mean, people aren't just standing around, you know, chanting all day long. They're basically exchanging ideas, relaxing, reading, sleeping, whatever it is that you would do in normal life. And you know, they come and go too. They'll leave the park, come back to the park. There's always going to be somebody there. The library just kind of took off and has, I think, thousands of titles now. And you can just go and read a book and bring it back, or I guess you can decide to keep it too. They said if you want to keep a book, you can. So it's really kind of a cool system they have there. Now, we do know they still need things. I think they have enough food. I think food is not the issue anymore. When we went down there the first time, we brought some food. Actually, the second time we brought some food for them. And it seemed like it was needed then. Now I think they can be supplying food to people in the city. They have so much of it. Clothing, I know they needed some warm clothing because things were getting cold. I saw a lot of clothes there last night.
Yes, I did.
So yeah, I saw that too. Might be good on that as well. I think, you know, at this point, just support people, more people. One thing, we were in touch with some people in the technical department. They need some laptops. They need some old laptops that they can stick Ubuntu on and use those as kind of a public terminal area for people so that they can hop onto a laptop, do some research, look things up. If you have a laptop, you can either contact us here at the radio station or radio show, otw@2600.com, or you can ship it to them. Now, they have an address. Yes, they actually have an address. It's in a UPS store. But they're able to get packages of any size and all kinds of things. And I imagine that's, they're getting all sorts of things every day. I'd love to see the kind of traffic going into there. The address is Occupy Wall Street, Attention the People's Library. And the address is 118A Fulton Street, number 205, New York, New York, 10038. That's the address. So send whatever you can. And laptops definitely are welcome. Bits of technology of all sorts, but you know, things that would be useful out in the field. We're talking about a one block square area here. Maybe it'll grow. I mean, I imagine that's an issue right now. If more and more people keep showing up, where are you going to put all these people? There was talk of going to Washington Square Park, but again, you're getting further and further away from the financial district when you do that.
I really think they need to maintain the presence in Wall Street no matter what happens, because the symbol there, I think, would be lost if it moved anywhere. But they are talking about expanding just the kitchen alone to something that's like of a commercial grade. And I imagine other things, even the library was lined up and there was books everywhere, pretty mm-hmm. cramped, and they're going to have some issues with wall space. I mean, if people continue to donate stuff. I wouldn't eliminate the fact that they need food either. Mm-hmm. Because maybe down the road, you know, people will ask for more food. So if you have a donation idea for food, you know, keep it on the back burner. We might need more of that in
Absolutely.
The future.
Absolutely. Again, keep an eye on the media, because the way they cover this story is always fascinating. Mm. It deserves strict attention as far as are they getting the story right? Like, there was a story that I just saw today. It's entitled NYPD Cost Rise as Wall Street Protests Continue, basically implying that this is costing everybody money. These people who dare to stay down there and cause all these cops to surround the place. Well, it reads like this. The protesters demonstrating against Wall Street were out in force, several hundred of them marching around the financial district, keeping an eye on them as they marched, and also at their home base in Zuccotti Park, where a number of police officers. The police presence is a constant one at the protest, and one that comes with a price tag. The NYPD already has spent $1.9 million, mostly in overtime pay, to patrol the area. See, for that reason alone, the cops should be happy that they're getting all this overtime, and it's thanks to the people that they're standing in front of. They say the cold weather is on the way. Protesters don't plan on leaving anytime soon. They're prepared to stay put for the long haul. That means the cops will continue to be out there too. And that comes at a time when Mayor Michael Bloomberg has ordered citywide budget cuts. The bottom line is, if people want to express themselves, as long as they obey the laws, we allow them to, said Bloomberg on Monday. Now, last week, he ordered all agencies to prepare to cut expenses by a total of $2 billion during the next 18 months. Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly said the budget cuts may cause the cancellation of a new class of police officers entering the academy in January. So they're trying to, like, relate these two stories, billions in cuts and $1.9 million being spent so far in overtime pay. First of all, you don't have to have that many cops there. That's a city decision. It's nothing the demonstrators are doing. It's completely their call on that. And so far, all the trouble that has happened has been because of police officers reacting badly with demonstrators. I have not heard of any cases where actual crimes have been committed inside the park or anything like that, that where police are actually needed. But yeah, have a police presence. But, a couple of cops, I think, will do it. I mean, everything there is self-governing. It's not an issue. I know it's different. I know it's scary and unusual for the status quo to deal with. But I think we got this one. Thanks anyway.
Yeah, and the message has been sent. I mean, I think the police know, and also the occupiers know that, you know, if something was to happen and things got out of hand, there would be more police presence there, but it doesn't need to be there every waking minute, you know. Then the barrier system seems to be working, and I gather they closed the street completely. What was that, Broadway?
They closed Broadway. That might have been because of Columbus Day.
Some kind of thing
there. But occasionally they just close streets off for no particular reason.
Well, as long as they're more consistent and just, okay, they established this is where the barrier is going to be. Don't be moving them around. That caught us off guard one night. It was a bit scary, you know, just to even have barriers put in. Because you didn't know, is this some sort of tactic for tonight, or is this a long-term thing, you know? So, and obviously people that were staying there may have had a better sense of that. So as long as it's sort of predictable and low intensity, I mean, you don't need to be swinging batons, you know, to people that are drumming and sharing ideas and reading and making plans to continue to occupy, so...
I'm looking at the events scheduled for today. They have a good website, OccupyWallStreet.org. Actually, street is ST, so it's OccupyWallStreet.org. Did somebody actually take OccupyWallStreet.org? That spells it out. Actually, I'm gonna do that right now. Add the REET and see what comes up. Oh, it goes to Adbusters. Okay, it goes to the original Adbusters site. So either one works. Day 25 they have on their site. So Occupy Wall Street spelled out, or Occupy Wall Street with the initials. Either one works. But OccupyWallST.org has a schedule for today. And right now, let's see what we have. Did it just change? Or did I look at a different date? 6 p.m. Information Front Desk meeting. Okay, there's two things at 6 p.m. There's an open forum with Sarah Burke. I'm going to click on that. I don't think our Mac can handle the line going across there. Yeah, it's cut off. I don't understand why. Okay, but that's one thing there. 7 p.m. General Assembly, that's where people basically shout out information, news, ideas, things like that, and it's echoed by the crowd. 8:30 p.m. Education and Empowerment Committee or something like that. Again, it's cut off, so I can't really read that. But if you go to OccupyWallStreet.org, ST.org, you'll see this. And you'll also see what they need, things that they need to have donated to them. Non-perishable goods only. We can accept packages of any size. Actually, they do say we're currently low on food. So, okay, food is something they could use more donations of. Again, the address, this is care of the UPS store, Occupy Wall Street, 118A Fulton Street, number 205, New York, New York, 10038. Now, we have the 2600 van, the old phone company van, and we can shuttle things back and forth from the island. So if there's anything that people want to donate, by all means, write to us, otw@2600.com. We'll be happy to lug it on in there, assuming it's something that that they need. They also have they have medics in there. They have all kinds of people that are trained in health issues.
I saw another type of person, a coach system of some sort, where they're teaching people about how to occupy, I gather. And that was interesting as well.
Uh-huh.
But you see people wearing different sort of homemade uniforms to represent whatever department they're working with there. Uh-huh. And
how does that work, though, this coach thing?
Well, I don't know. I just saw a woman who was some sort of coach, and she was giving instructions to maybe someone who was just visiting for the first time. And I don't know. She was discussing something about the protests and, I don't know, what to do and that kind of thing.
Okay. I've also just called up the live broadcast, and anybody can watch this. It's www.livestream.com/globalrevolution. Livestream.com/globalrevolution. They have a crawl at the bottom. This is what we were talking about before. Breaking news. The crawl moves too damn slow. If anyone listening can make it go faster, please do. Breaking news. Boston police attacking camp, beating veterans for peace. 100 to 200 estimated arrests. And there's a phone number for Boston Police Headquarters, 617-343-4200, for people to voice their opinion on what's going on there. Mayor's Office, 617-635-4500. And there are over 4,000 viewers. Now, when we first started watching this, it was under 2,000. And now, wow. And that was when things were hitting the fan. Now it's, well, of course, things are hitting the fan in Boston right now. And I'm not sure if this live stream is coming from Boston or from Wall Street. I imagine it's Wall Street. But now it seems to be above 4,000 all the time.
And wow.
The technology here is just incredible. Livestream.com is providing this /globalrevolution. Feel free to hop on and see just what's happening, what's going on in the eyes of the people that are there. It's really pretty incredible. Okay, we said we're going to take phone calls, and I think we should. I think it's only fair. So our phone number, you should know it by now, and you should know it for next week when we need funds to be coming into this place to keep us going. That phone number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. And what I think we should do is the usual, where we hop into delay and come back out on the other side and hope that it all goes fairly smoothly. Let's see.
Hi, this is David Sanchez, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
A little bit rough, but I think it worked. It's, excuse me, 22 minutes to 7 o'clock. Kyle, did you make it okay?
Hop.
Yeah. All right. It was rough. I don't know. We were cut off a little bit.
All right.
But let's take some phone calls.
I think I'm here.
I think you're here, too.
I think we have a call on the line as well.
All right. We have a couple of calls.
Fantastic.
So let's see who's out there. And we can't spend too much time because we want to get to as many people as possible. This might be the last show we are able to do call-ins for a little while. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Oh, hi, Emmanuel. It's Rose again.
How you doing?
Hi. I'm just glad you're talking about this again. I was there several times. I try to go there a few times a week.
Uh-huh.
And just so much going on. I mean, you know, Amy Goodman was in the house the other day. And
yeah, I actually saw her last night. It was
yeah,
great seeing her there.
And also Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, today's Tuesday. And Chris Hedges was speaking, I believe it was Sunday.
Uh-huh, Kanye West was there. I don't know. must have turned into a circus. Well, all these people stop by, and of course, all the media runs around them, so it turns into a bit of a fun time.
You know what was really, I've been there for quite a few different events, you know, on the Brooklyn Bridge,
mm-hmm.
and but on Saturday, I believe it was, we walked to Washington Square Park. Actually, we took the subway and then walked.
Yeah, and I saw that in the media coverage, and it made me a little bit worried because they said that they abandoned Zuccotti Park to go to Washington Square Park. And I was like, no, don't do that. They're going to close it off. But I imagine people stayed behind, right?
Yes, people stayed behind. But you know what it was? It's so big now that they had to have the General Assembly there. It was just, we just couldn't do it. And it was so so much better there, because I don't know if you've heard, you know, the people's mic. There, the park was filled.
Mm-hmm.
Washington Square Park was filled. They asked everybody that can to please sit down. And as we all sat down, I'm telling you, it was overwhelming. And I stood up, but, you know, I had my little camera. I was trying to videotape some of it. And it's just incredible. And the way they did the open mic, they went through, you know, each person that spoke, they had to go about three times, three rows of repeating, because that's how many people were there. And
yeah, we saw that last night. There seemed to be like a West Coast feed of the people's mic is where you say something and then a crowd of people repeat it. But then obviously if other people are hearing that for the first time, then it gets repeated a second time and maybe even a third time. What I can't understand, why don't they just let people have megaphones, for God's sake, a PA system of some sort? It's getting, I mean, it's a great system they have,
right.
And it really, it's inspirational, but it also points out the ridiculous regulations that they have to face sometimes.
Yeah, well, it's like Bloomberg saying, you know, he'll allow us to be there as long as we don't do anything illegal. You know, like we're allowed. You know,
mm-hmm.
that just annoyed me. But it's good that he said that, and even the cops have been a little bit more, I don't know, they're just getting a little bit more, they're looking at you not like
yes.
angry. You know, you can joke with them a little bit.
Right. That that definitely adds to it. The time to be concerned is if you see a whole bunch of new cops show up that
yeah.
don't have that relationship. That's how Tiananmen Square happened. So if there is any kind of action that's going to be taken, they won't be using the people that you know and have become somewhat friendly with.
Right. And I think just one other thing. I think they are going to need, because I was there from the beginning and I've slept out and Saturday, I could not sleep there. I had my sleeping bag and everything. I had to come back to Long Island because there was no room. And then I heard a guy on television that he slept over on Wall Street, and when they were arresting him because he wouldn't move, he said, there's no more room there. You know, you need to expand it. It was kind of cute the way he was like, you know, I tried to sleep there, but I couldn't.
Yeah. I don't know what the plan is. This is definitely something that's going to be an issue as more and more people come. It's a pilgrimage. People are coming here from all over the country, maybe even other countries as well.
Yes. They are, and I've spoken to them, and they are going to need more food, because in the beginning, you just go up and you get your lunch and your breakfast. Now there's lines.
Yes.
Because there's so many people. So,
yes.
You know, don't, you know, everybody should keep thinking about bringing food, because they, in the beginning, they were giving it to the shelters in the evening.
Yes, I heard
so
that.
Much of it now, I think it's going to, you know, they're going to need more.
I was thinking it'd be great if some, you know, master chefs that work in the city somewhere donated their time, came down and cooked some food for people.
You know, Gary Knoll, he's on
mm-hmm.
BAI.
Yes.
Talks about nutrition, but his daughter is a vegetarian chef. She came there. I can't remember what day now, but they had enough food for like 500 to 1,000 people.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's getting on board. So
if every restaurant in New York donated whatever was left over every night that they weren't going to use anyway, I don't think this would be a problem at all.
Yeah. Well, all right. So hopefully I'll see you there one day.
Yes, definitely. I'm down there quite a bit.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks. 631-632-9872. Yeah, I know we had other calls that they hung up, but please call back, because we definitely want to hear from you. And if you've never called before, please call in. You know, you don't have to agree with this whole thing. Tell us it's a horrible thing. It's the worst thing ever. Tell us it's a bad idea and why. That's part of the discussion. That's part of figuring it all out. All right, stick a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening. You're speaking with Macho from the Netherlands.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Hi.
What part of the Netherlands are you in?
I'm in the south, really south of Rotterdam.
Okay, cool. Very cool. So how have you heard of this whole Wall Street thing over there? Is it being covered a lot?
It's been covered in the national media here as well, and there are groups in The Hague and Amsterdam starting as well.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So now, what would you guys be demonstrating against? Obviously not the American economic system, something in Europe.
I'm not entirely sure what they are, because I'm not part of any of the groups, but I'm not entirely sure what they are protesting against, but it's very interesting to hear all sides of the stories, really.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, how you call it, we're not very happy with our governments, let's just put it that way.
Yeah, and I think that's a common theme all throughout the world, and people need to always be speaking up and voicing their complaints and being listened to. And that's, like I said, the Tea Party gets that. They are out there and they're mobilizing people. There's no reason that can't happen
on all different spectrums.
I agree completely, yeah, indeed. And I do think that on the left side, we do need to get a bit more organized and not just do all the infighting.
Mm-hmm. So now, based on the media coverage of this over there, has your view of what America is all about, has that changed at all? Do you see people now as maybe not being so asleep all the time?
It does indeed. For me, at least personally, yeah, I do. I did think that a large part of the U.S., of the American people were indeed kind of in a, well, just trudging along, really, with whatever was happening.
Accepting the status quo, saying, oh, there's no way I can ever make a difference, might as well just accept it.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. And now I see that there are people who are really wanting to try to change things, and that's really encouraging.
Yeah, and the first way you do that is just by expressing some discontent. You don't have to have all the answers right away, and I think this is what a lot of people aren't getting. They say these people don't have any focus. We go down there, they have plenty of focus. They're able to get a community started and to bring people together and bring more people from all around the world together. And you take it from there. That is how you build. You don't start off with a completed building. You start off with a foundation, and you add to it, and you get all kinds of different input from all over the place.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, I was wondering one thing. What's going to be happening to these Occupy movements in the U.S. and all over the world when it ends? When change has been done or something like that? What's going to happen with the current structure that they are building up right now?
When things actually change, you're asking?
I hope that something will change.
You see, that's the difference between you guys over there and us here. You guys actually can get things to change, and governments can be radically different one year to the next, and you actually see things, I guess, progress and be different. We're not so used to that here. So I don't know. I don't think anyone's actually gotten to that stage yet where once we get to the point where things have actually changed and it's a lot fairer, what will we do then? It's a good question, and hopefully we'll get there and we'll have that problem to deal with. I imagine it'll always be a bit of fine-tuning. There'll always be something that needs to be addressed, and you need that because otherwise you fall back into complacency.
Exactly. Yeah, indeed. But I hope that that things will change indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be great. Listen, thanks for your call, and keep the spirit up over there in the Netherlands. It's great to hear from you.
And I'll do a shout out to the people in the IRC as well. They are chatting along with the show and discussing what you two are talking about.
See, we never get to do that. We never get to check out the IRC channel. What kinds of things are they saying? And keep it clean, please.
Well, we're just happy that you are discussing the Occupy movement because, well, it needs to get out there, and
One thing that has been very interesting in this whole thing is the relationship with the hacker community. As you know, Anonymous has been involved in this, and they've been issuing all kinds of statements, and the Guy Fawkes mask is everywhere. But it's we were talking to some of the people the other day, and they were saying how this whole thing is a hack. This whole thing is something that basically was hacking the system, and it's working. And the basic ideology is very compatible. And again, you don't have to totally agree with whatever it is people are standing for, but you do have to admire the cleverness, the way of getting people together, the way of adapting, and the way of reaching out.
Yes, indeed. And indeed, you don't have to agree with everything everybody says, but you can find a middle ground always somewhere, and it should be reached somehow.
Yeah, and you know, it would be hard for anyone to go down there to Zuccotti Park, which, by the way, is on the intersection of Liberty Street and Broadway downtown. It'd be hard, I think, for anybody to go down there and not feel some emotion that, wow, this is a beautiful thing. This is incredible seeing people come together like this and just have this celebration, really. It is a celebration of just finding other people that that believe some of the things you believe in, but also just being there in the heart of it all, expressing yourself and feeling like it matters.
Yeah, it's amazing to see it also on the web happening as well. And I just read here that the Occupy movement has also spread to Melbourne as well. So
Australia, how about that?
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I think it's spreading everywhere, and this
really, I guess against the the elite, really, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's monumental. This is history. It's something we'll be talking about decades from now.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll hang up and have someone else talk as well.
All right. Thanks so much for your call.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
It's I think it's midnight there or thereabouts. So great to get a call from the Netherlands. Anyone else out there, please give us a call, 631-632-9872. There's people camped out in a park in downtown Manhattan expressing their opinion. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call us and say what's on your mind, and people might hear, people might respond, and it'll be archived forever on our internet site, and people centuries from now will be able to hear what you say. If you don't call, your whole existence might be completely futile. It's a bit heavy-handed, I know, but I got to get those calls coming in. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, hi. My name is Eileen. I just wanted to call in and give my opinion about something.
Yeah, sure. Where are you calling from?
Santa Marches.
Okay, great. Out east. So what's on your mind?
Well, I just want everybody who... I've listened to a number of different radio stations regarding this whole issue that's going on,
uh-huh.
And sometimes it bothers me that they're losing sight of what the issue is, and what they're saying is, you know, this is really cool that there's an event going on, there's people there, there's people bringing food, there's all this, and there's, you know, it's great to acknowledge that.
But why are they there in the first place?
But what they really need to continue to voice is what the real issue is, that why people are there.
Yes, yes, absolutely. What do you see that as being?
The event has a purpose, and mm-hmm. the purpose is to let people know that, again, and I'm a physician. You know, I'm not in the 1%, but people might consider me in the 1% because I'm a white-collar worker.
Yeah, no, you're far from the 1%. That's one thing I've learned.
There are a lot of people in the world who, you know, don't think what's going on is a great thing, and so we all need to be mindful of the reason why people are there, not just that there's an event going on.
Right, absolutely. So what do you think the best way of accomplishing that is? Just focusing on the actual issues?
Well, continuing to say, you know, to voice the reasons why people are there and what people are trying to say while they're there, not just that there's a lot of people and that people bring you food and that it's really great and there's people around the world. I think that is good. And
well,
also, I just also... think that's important.
The reason we're emphasizing that in this hour is because we want to reach out to the people that are thinking of going down there and think maybe it's dangerous, maybe it's something hostile, and it's actually a very warm, open environment. And yes, once you get down there, you'll have no choice but to acknowledge the fact that there are all kinds of issues being raised, and you'll hear them firsthand.
Right, I understand that. I got to say, I'm in Santa Marches. I don't know if you know anything about Santa Marches.
A little bit. I know it's out east. I know it's not very big.
It's a small town. It's a very small town mentality, and you know, I left a relationship where, you know, I was a very, you know, more what people consider a independent thinker, etc. And I have a lot of friends in this town now, and I have a really close friend that I spoke to not long ago, and I spoke to about the issues even before what happened on Wall Street was happening. And she said to me, "I've never really been clear. What is left wing and right wing?"
Oh boy.
Myself. Wow, that's pretty isolated.
Well, also in this country, it's not that uncommon a question because we don't really see very much other than one party.
Well, the other side of the issue is there, and it's been there all along. I just think, you know, what's happened now is people have realized that we can't just sit around anymore, and we just can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and it's good timing.
If we wait much longer, you know, there's, you know, I don't know if you know the musician Bruce Coburn, but
yes, absolutely.
Democracy, you know?
Yes, definitely.
You know, I don't know if you know it, but if you know, one of the lines from the song is, you know, if you wait too long, you know, you'll wake up someday to find yourself staring down the throat of the beast that's called revolution.
What's the name of the song?
It's
What the name of the song again is? What?
The name of the song is Democracy.
Okay.
With Democracy. The artist is Bruce Coburn.
Right. No, he's one of my favorites, but I'll try to bring that song in maybe next week.
If you know Bruce Coburn,
yeah.
You cannot know Democracy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I do. Listen, we're out of time, but I hope you make it down there if you haven't already.
Well, I'll try. But, right. You know, it's, I just want them to make sure they continue to be voicing what the opinion is there, not just that there's an event happening.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Absolutely. All right. Thanks for your call.
Your name?
I'm Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
Yes. All right. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.
And let's try to take one more call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Make it quick, please.
Greetings from South Texas.
South Texas. Hey, how are you guys viewing this story?
We're doing okay. I was trying to see why you haven't run for local office yet. I know how much of an activist you can be and how much of an influence you can have.
Mm-hmm.
We all know how big government can't get anything done, so I just wanted to see why you hadn't run for local stuff yet.
What? I'm sorry. I'm having trouble hearing what you're asking.
Oh, why haven't you run for local office?
Oh, why haven't I run for local? Oh, do you really think that's a good idea? I have so many skeletons in my closet. I don't think it's. It would be entertaining. I'll say that. I think I'm more comfortable behind the scenes, kind of pushing people to go in certain directions. I don't think you want to see me in power.
Well, I think it would be great.
Well, thanks. Thanks. I really do appreciate that. All right, thanks for your call. What a nice note to end on. Can you imagine that, Kyle? Me running for public office?
Yeah, I could. I could imagine that.
Wow. No, folks, just don't even bother. But it's fun to think about these things. Yeah, a little exercise for the imagination. Good response, I think. Again, our email address, otw@2600.com. Please, if you have the opportunity, go down to Wall Street and just check it out. It's an amazing thing. You won't get in trouble just for going there. You won't get arrested. You won't get attacked. It's really incredible. Any day, any night, just go down Broadway and Liberty Street is the intersection. And you won't have any trouble finding it. And take the N or the R train down there and just wander around. It's well. And I know we mentioned, Kyle, that like many people, you were uneasy at first.
Yes.
And now you're really comfortable there, I think.
Yeah, it took a couple times visiting, but yeah. I think you get over that, and you know you have the right kind of communication, and you understand what's going on. And when we were there, it's changed. It's evolved.
Yes.
So I feel it's much more approachable. If you haven't gone, please check it out.
It's going to continue. Going to continue to evolve, and you can help with that process just by adding to it in one way or another. Again, check out the live stream, livestream.com/globalrevolution. Go to their website, OccupyWallStreet.org. That's Wall Street spelled WALLST.org. If you want to go to the original page where it all started, Occupy Wall Street spelled out. And again, the address to send things to, Occupy Wall Street, care of the UPS store, 118A Fulton Street, number 205, New York, New York, 10038. They're in need of food right now, but you can't really send food through UPS or through FedEx or anything like that. Well, I guess you can, but if you're going to donate food, I think you kind of have to go down there. But they're looking for laptops. They're looking for technology of various sorts. There's all kinds of things on the webpage as to what they need. Interesting times. Fascinating. We'll be back next week asking for your funds to keep this place alive. Thanks so much for adding your opinions and voices to everything. Have a good night, Kyle.
Good night.
Hi, I'm Bob Lungman with the WUSB Concert Billboard for Monday, October 10th. Blues Inn will be at the Lobster Roll North Side in Bating Hollow, New York at 3 p.m. The Yoko Ono Imagine Peace featuring John and Yoko's Year of Peace is going through its final week here at the Stony Brook University campus at the Stoller Center for the Arts University Art Gallery, starting at 12 and ending at 4 each day until the 15th. Your WUSB Concert Billboard for Tuesday, October 11th. Bush and Chevelle will be at the Paramount in Huntington Village at 8 p.m. Nicholas Payton will be at Burtland throughout the week, with shows at 8:30 and 11 p.m. That's in Manhattan. Your Concert Billboard for Wednesday, October 12th. Jars of Clay and Dave Barnes will be at the B.B. King's in Manhattan at 8 p.m. Iron and Wine will be with Low at the Terminal 5 in Manhattan at 8 p.m. Jack's Mannequin and Company of Thieves will be at the Paramount in Huntington at 8 p.m. Buddy Merriam's Mandolin Experience will be at the Checkmate Inn, East Setauket, at 9:30 p.m. Your concert billboard for Thursday, October 13th. Also continuing on will be Yoko Ono's Imagine Peace at the Stony Brook University Stoller Center for the Arts, and Nicholas Payton will remain...